Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, December the 2nd. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Shay D., the 12 Traditions, Mary P., and the readers of the text are Sherry M., Barbara A., and Tanya P. Today, we are reading from the Big Book, page 62, How It Works, starting with the second paragraph, so our troubles we think, and ending with, we had to have God's help. A comment at one paragraph only. The share ID for Monday, December the 2nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,960. That's 21960. And Tuesday, December the 2nd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,962. Newcomer greeter is Diane B., and the announcements person is Shelley E. Thank you all for your service this month. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Shay D. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning, Mo, and good morning, everyone. Mo, I think today is December 3rd, I believe. The 12 steps.
Thank you for helping me.
Absolutely. Good morning. This is Shady in California, grateful for recovery today. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God and to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Shay D., and also for pointing out that today is December the 3rd. Thank you very much. And I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. These are the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Mary P., for reading those traditions for us. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what we've read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 62 in the chapter How It Works, starting with the second paragraph. So our troubles, we think, and it ends with we had to have God's help. And I will now ask Sherry M. to get us started. Good morning, Sherry.
Thanks, Mo. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot, though he usually doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible, and there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them, even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. My name is Sherry M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and my higher power has such a sense of humor that this is my paragraph. This paragraph and the one before has really brought me to my knees lately, and I'm seeing it in all different sorts of ways with hidden motives and things like that. And so when I'm reading this, I see something that I hadn't seen before, of course, because that's what studying the Big Book does for us or for me. But it says above everything. So I circled that this morning and I thought, what? You mean it's not like just something I do along with everything? No. This is above, this is the utmost importance, above everything, above people, places, and things. Everything in my life, this must come first. It also says that I can't do it alone. There's, and it even says that there's, neither could I reduce my self-centered. I can't even reduce it, let alone, you know, I can't get rid of it. I can't reduce it. I can't wish it away. You know, I wish I may, I wish I might, you know, not have a compulsive bite. You know, I couldn't do that either because it's beyond my power. I don't have the power. I have to have God's help. And, you know, this is, I'm an extreme, an alcoholic is an extreme. So, you know, sometimes, you know, when I'm doing inventories and things and I see how other people are behaving, this paragraph is reminding me that that may be true and they may have shortcomings as well. But the truth is, I was born an alcoholic and I am an extreme. I am the highest degree. I have a very serious, very severe self-will run riot problem, you know. And then the other thing that it says is the paragraph before this is talking about the selfishness and self-centeredness being the root of my troubles. And I love the image, you know, that's the root. So that's down below under the ground, let's say. And then the all my different forms of fear, right? And then, so basically all of my troubles in life, everything that I run into having a trouble with is because it comes out of me. It's growing out of me. If I didn't have this selfishness, self-centeredness, then I wouldn't have any troubles. And the truth is that when I give up wanting anything or having a way, I don't care if it goes this way or that way. I don't care what my life looks like. I only want to do what God wants. I honestly don't have any disturbances. It's only when the fear is activated, because I'm not going to get what I want, but this is going to kill me. And I've got to tell you, lately, this has really been coming up for me more. I've been seeing it more than I ever had. And I think that's because when everything's going well in life, it only seems like I'm living the promises. And I'm living this wonderful state of, you know, seizing, fighting everything and everyone. And I can say life is wonderful. But if I look at it closely, I can see that I'm actually getting my way. And that's why life is great. And so thank you so much. I can't wait to hear from everyone else. Thanks, Mo.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry Ann, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we are on page 62, the second paragraph down. So our troubles, we think, and it ends with, we had to have God's help. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Eileen
M.
Eileen M. There was somebody else in there.
Charlene.
Trudy, was that a Trudy?
Trudy.
Okay, I got a Trudy B. I heard a Karen. I got the Karen KZ. Is that another Karen?
Karen T, as in thankful.
Karen T.
Got me, Mo, Bruce E.
Oh, I didn't hear you, Bruce. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you.
Bruce,
did you get
B?
Charlene?
Nope, Charlene. Thank you. I got G. You. What's your last initial?
G.
G. Okay.
Farley,
I think we'll stop. Oh, who was that? H.
Farley.
All right, we'll stop there. Farley H. All right. I have Karen KZ, Eileen M, Trudy B, Karen T, Bruce E, Charlene G, and Carly H. I hope I did that. Okay. If I missed you, please catch me the second time around. All right, everybody mute except Karen KZ. Good morning, Karen.
Hi, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Karen KZ in Missouri. And I love all of this about this section on step three. And I love reading it in the first person. It's been mentioned many times before, but it has such power to do that. And I think what stands out for me today is that I cannot get rid of my selfishness. I cannot get rid of my self-will. I am powerless over that, just like I am the food. And I have to have God's aid. I have to. God makes it possible for these defects of character that I have to be removed. And I keep asking him, and that's the whole secret, is to remember that I of myself can't do this, but God can and will do it if and when I invite him and ask him to. So my life now really is about asking God to take me over my thoughts, words, and actions, and to look for God everywhere, not just in the good stuff, but in everybody and everything all the time. And I just can't express enough how life-changing this has been for me, because I kept trying to manage and control my life and your life and the world. And every time I still try to do that, because I will be honest, I do still try to do that, I suffer. And I'm not suffering because the world is or other people are like they are. It's what I'm doing with other people and how they are. So anyway, if I keep turning it over to God and I ask God to help me all day long, then I have a wonderful life. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share, and I pass.
Hey, thank you very much, Karen KZ. Up next is Eileen M., followed by Trudy B. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. Thanks, Mo, for taking the meeting today. My name is Eileen M., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. This is such a great paragraph because, you know, I read this for the first time many years ago, and the first thing I thought to myself was my problems are caused by other people. You know, I do not cause my own problems. I really had a very strong belief about that. And what I interpret, you know, what, you know, Bill is saying here is that, you know, every human being is self-centered and runs on self-will. But alcoholics are an extreme example of this. And I looked up self-will in the dictionary, and it said the tendency to stick to one's own ideas and desires about what is best. And, yeah, I thought I knew what was best for me, and I thought I knew what was best for everyone else. And, you know, that's how I conducted my life, was trying to control everybody around me and everything. And it didn't work well at all. What else was I thinking? I was thinking about, you know, self-centeredness for me. Here's an example of how I'm self-centered, is that I take things personally. And, you know, it's not personal. And I have to, you know, keep being reminded that, you know, things are not, they're not personal. They're not all about me. You know, a lot of times I would make choices based on fear and, you know, without asking God in. And that never worked either. So, you know, I really need God today for everything. And I'm so grateful that, you know, I have found, I understand the problem. I mean, you know, for so many years I sat in the OA rooms and I really did not understand the problem. That, you know, because people would say to me, well, you know, this disease is a living problem. But I really didn't understand what that meant. That to me is very vague. But this describes, you know, these pages describe the exact nature of the living problem. So, you know, they describe what unmanageability is, and I'm really grateful to have found this meeting. So thank you. I pass.
Thanks very much, Eileen M. from New Hampshire. Up next is Trudy B., followed by Karen T. Good morning, Trudy.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, everybody, for the service. Welcome to the newcomers. I'm Trudy B. from Maryland. I am really grateful to be here. Really good meeting. I tell you, that little paragraph just hit home, because before program and part of, and sometimes still, I thought I was a little God. You know, everything came out of my mouth was perfect because I thought I was perfect. I thought something was wrong with the rest of the world. I was busy pointing fingers. You got this problem, and you got this problem, and of course you got this problem. If you did what I said, then you'd be okay. And even when you did what I said and it went wrong, it's still your fault. So I am grateful. God made this program the way that I look at it is for a person like me that's 100% self-centered, didn't want to do nothing except what I wanted to do. I couldn't see it no other way. I was like, you know, I want to do, like a kid. I was like a spoiled, riding, tantrum-throwing kid. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. It don't matter what you want. You know, it only mattered what I wanted. It was just, I am so grateful for a program that helped me grow up, because that's what it's about. It's about growing up. It's not about having my way all the time. It's not about being this self-centered brat. It is just about growing up and being of service to God, to other people, and helping out and being responsible, because really I wasn't. I didn't want to be accountable. I didn't want to be none of that. You know, I just wanted to have my way. And, you know, so this program was created for a person just like me, compulsive overeater, just totally 100% dishonest most of the time, but swore up and down I had some type of morals because I thought I was right all the time. But, you know, this paragraph says that, no, I'm not right, and, you know, I need God to help me out of this because I couldn't do it myself. The steps, the fellowships, you people, you know, as soon as I come in and say I'm a compulsive overeater, you know who I am, because I sure know who you are when you see it, you know. Yeah, so I'm just grateful to be here. I'm Trudy B. again. I'm going to mute and I'm going to pass. Thank you, everybody, for being here.
Hey, thank you, Trudy B. from Maryland. Up next is Karen T., followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for taking this meeting. Really appreciate it. My name's Karen T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Orleans, but I'm currently in Tarrytown, New York. Wonderful to be at this meeting live. I hardly ever share, so this is great. My particular brand of selfishness is not unique, even though, you know, selfishly I'd like it to be unique, but is that I want to fix myself. You know, I just want to be perfect. What's wrong with that? Well, I can't do it. And so this paragraph is very important to me. We cannot reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own willpower. We have to have God's help. One of the steps that's hard for me is step 6, become entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. I want the defects removed, but I'm not sure about the God part sometimes. So this paragraph really helps me with that. I can't do it. God can. I think I'll let God. I did that first with the food, right? I can't control my food. God can. I think I'll let God. And then now I have to do it with all the other selfishness and self-centeredness I have in my life. I can't. God can. I think I'll let God. Steps 1, 2, and 3 on selfishness and self-centeredness. I really just wanted people to do things my way. I thought there was one right way to do it, and it was the Karen way. And I had all these resentments. My first resentment list was people who weren't doing things my way, especially my mother and my sister. And so that first inventory was all about, it's okay. They just have a different way of doing it. There are more than one ways of doing it, Karen. And everyone has the dignity to do it their way. So thank you so much for listening, and with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Karen T. from New Orleans. Bruce E., followed by Charlene G. Good morning, Bruce.
Yeah, that's me. Good morning, Mo. And I'm Bruce E. I'm in chilly Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida area. I'm recovered. And I thank God for that, especially since I'm such a crazy, selfish, self-centered, self-will-run riot type guy. And it didn't all go away when I got recovered either. And I blame everybody. I've done that all my life. Finally got in this program, started finding out that I really do that a lot, so I need to get rid of that. I'm working on it. Basically, my troubles are basically my own making. You know, if I look at every one of my clashes with people or difficulties, I did it all. I started all of it, you know. I got it all going. Once in a while, the ceiling falls down on me. It's not my fault. But most of the time, I didn't put the ceiling up there right, you know. So most basically of my own making. And I can't blame people. I have to look at my own mistakes. The alcoholic is an extreme example. A food addict is an extreme example of self-will run riot. That's run riot. That's me. And I must get rid of this selfishness, or what happens if I don't get rid of it? It kills me. I kill myself with food. That's what happens. If I don't get rid of it, I food. I humbly ask God to remove that selfishness. I humbly ask that. God makes it possible. How does he make it possible? Step 6 and 7. I humbly ask him to remove that selfishness. I always had good moral and philosophical. Well, no, I didn't always have good moral. So I have had in the past at certain times good moral and philosophical convictions. But that didn't get me well. That didn't get me recovered. They didn't get me, you know, too far in this program. So we could not live up to them even though we would like to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own willpower. I do not have enough willpower to get there, to pull this thing off. I'm short on willpower. I had to have God's help. I absolutely must have God's help. And I petition him every day for that help. So thank you for this great meeting, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Bruce E. from sunny Florida. Up next is Charlene G., followed by Carly H. And after Carly, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Charlene.
Good morning, Mo, and thank you, everyone, for being here today. I really appreciate your service and for all those who make this meeting operate smoothly. I so appreciate my vision for you, world, life, family. I put you on my gratitude list quite frequently. Your shares, your service, your incredible hours and hours of service blessed me so much. I had a sponsor, and I don't know who, but I'm thankful to them once upon a time who had me put the pronoun I and my and me next to all those we's and ours. And so this whole paragraph is written from in my first person. And I wish I had known this from the beginning, because it says, this is the how and why, next paragraph. But you know, I didn't realize, and now I do, how valuable this message that they put in here, right here, is for my day today, for my recovery right now, presently. I'm so grateful for Bill W. and all the founders. I do know now that I will die spiritually any given hour and any given day. You know, I too was set back by what? These are my doings? I mean, my warped thinking, I was taken aback when I first read that. But, you know, there's an indication of my heart being softened and bending to God. My heart is bending to God. And that is that I can see it when I really mean it, when I say and read my morning words. You know, I have these little post-it notes that I go to, and one of them says, think about the 24 hours ahead. Consider the plans for the day. Ask God to do. Direct my thinking, divorce me from self-pity, gossip, fear, dishonest, criticizing, self-seeking, judging. Ask God for inspiration. Relax. Take it easy. Don't struggle. Pray to be shown the next step. Ask for freedom from self-will. And I actually mean it. It's sinking in. It's taking. I'm humbly seeking and receiving and accepting and listening. These are compliant-like traits, and I'm grateful for those. Recently, there's an example I have of where I was in earnest prayer and fasting this weekend, and I wanted God to help me direct my thinking the way he would want me to see the situation and my circumstance. And, you know, within 12 hours, I was flipping open a book that I had just ordered, and it's on emotional sobriety, and I flipped through the table of contents, and it's on chapter 6, it's not personal. And it was like, I just perused those paragraphs. I'm like, there's the answer. It's not personal. And it's so cool to echo each other's shares. God is so gentle, and he shows me tenderly, of course, corrects me. He shows me the how or the why in my thinking. And another example is I laugh at myself when I'm in self-will trying to, you know, tell spouse, you know, let's declutter and taking inventory of his lane. And then I go in my closet and there's this flops and jets and crap on the jewelry shelf. And
fine.
This makes me laugh. Anyway, just in closing, I just want to tell you how grateful I am to be in this phase of truth flowing recovery. And I'm so grateful to hang out with you guys and to be spiritually fed by you. Thank you so much. You inspire me, and I pass.
Hey, thank you very much, Charlene G. from Utah. Before I take Carly, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 62, second paragraph down. So our troubles, we think. And it ends with, we had to have God's help. After Carly, I can take another lineup of names. Good morning, Carly.
Good morning, everybody. This is Carly H. I'm recovered from the disease of compulsive overeating, and I'm in Connecticut. I really needed to share today. I don't often feel the need to share, so I jumped in. And the part that stands out for me is the very first sentence. So our troubles, we think, are basically of our own making. So I started thinking about what troubles, what are the troubles that they're talking about? And I kind of looked through the prior paragraphs. And basically, we're talking about that we could not manage our own lives. Well, or page 60. We were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. Well, those are my troubles. All the mismanagement and other examples in here are that we are almost always in collision with something or somebody. That's me. We believe that society has wronged him. That's me. The alcoholic who has lost all and is locked up. Not quite me, but I was getting close. We step on the toes of our fellows. Yes, I do all these things. And these are my troubles and where they, I believe that they stem from is on page 24. We are unable at certain times to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or month ago. We are without defense against the first drink or bite. That's the root of all my troubles. Those are my troubles, and they begin and end with me. And as all the other shares said, it's all about the self-centeredness. But I just wanted to go back in my mind as to what troubles I have created. And I didn't create them on purpose. I created them because that is the manifestation of my disease. It is a disease that creates all of this within me. And I need God to get rid of it because I cannot treat my disease. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Carly H. from Connecticut. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 62, second paragraph down. So our troubles we think. Oh, who was that?
Sorry, Alex K.
Alex K.
Diane Ingrid H.
Somebody garbled there, but I heard Ingrid.
Diane.
Rocky. Was that Diane?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I got you, Diane. I got you, Roz.
Vanessa G.
And we better stop there, Vanessa. So let me see. Let me put Roz and then Vanessa. Okay, so I have Alex K, Ingrid H, Diane B, Roz G, I think it is, and Vanessa H. No, Vanessa G. Vanessa G. Okay. Everybody mute except Alex K. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, Mo. Hi, everyone. Thanks for being here. Alex K in California, compulsive eater, given a reprieve for today. I like to joke that there's good news and bad news. The bad news is that I'm the problem. The good news is I'm the problem. And it's good news because once I admit that my self-will and selfishness and self-centeredness, my thinking, my attitudes are the root of my problem, then I can get help with that. And I'm the only one I can change. But I need help from my higher power because I'm powerless over my defects, just as I am over the food. I can't change on my own with my willpower or even want to change without the help of my higher power. I remember years ago I would come home from some uncomfortable interaction with someone, and I would say to my husband, I hate people, except you, of course, I would say to him. I want to go live on a desert island so I don't have to deal with people. I couldn't see my part, and I blamed everyone else. I needed life to go my way and people to follow my script, even though I wasn't even conscious that I had a script. I did. I'm so grateful. I have learned that it's me who needs to change. My serenity isn't about anything outside myself being different. It's my response to those things that causes me pain. So it's an inside job, me and my higher power and the steps, of course, and you all help me. And my thinking really is changing. My defects are lessening. I spend less time there being healed and seeing that psychic change that the book talks about, less in self and more in my higher power's will. But, of course, I'm human, and I'll always have defects and self-will, but I am less self-centered than I used to be, and trust that I will continue to make progress. I used to be so completely unaware of others' feelings and needs. I only thought of what I wanted, and now I'm much more considerate and thoughtful and accepting of life and life terms, loosening my grip on my way. Knowing my way isn't the best. My way wants to kill me. Today I get to seek my higher power's way. Has my higher power to show me your will for me and help me do that. That's the way to serenity, regardless of what's going on around me or what other people are doing. I'm so grateful for this new path that's not self-destructive, but life-enhancing, and getting to grow closer to my higher power every day and to what my higher power wants for me. It's a beautiful way of life. Thanks, everyone. Pass.
Thank you very much, Alex K. from California. Up next is Ingrid H., followed by Diane B. Good morning, Ingrid.
Good morning. This is Ingrid, recovered compulsive overeater, calling from California. And, this paragraph, so are troubles we think. And, you know, today I'm convinced. I know I'm convinced my troubles are basically of my own making. And when I think about selfishness and what that looks like, for me, it's the self-centered fear. It's the unreasonable demands and expectations that I place on others. All the plans and things that I come up with, right, that are of self, like, and not like God-centered plans, with self-reliance, my need for perfection and for comfort, and you know, it says there's no way of entirely getting rid of self without His aid, so without God's aid. And as I think about this selfishness and living in recovery, right, it's almost think of it like a Richter scale. And it's, you know, I become aware of it, and, you know, this is telling me that I have to have God's help. I have to have God's help. And so I take these daily actions, but it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be selfish, right? That's the reason why, you know, we have 10 steps and nightly reviews. But lately, my prayer has been so simple to God. One of my prayers, God, save me from myself. Save me, because I can't do it without God's help. self-centered fear has a way of, like, unreasonable demands and expectations of others and what I want have their way of, like, creeping back in, and I got to go back to God and ask God for help. I cannot do this on my own, much by wishing or trying on my own power. I have to have God's help day in and day out. And yes, some days that Richter scale is low, it's at a 1 and in the flow, and then other days, you know, it's like, uh-oh, what was that? And then I got to ask God for help again. So I'm just grateful for this program, for this awareness, for the relationship with the higher power, and having faith that God can save me from myself. And when I go into self, it doesn't mean that I have to stay there. I ask for help, and God gives me that reprieve. So with that, I will stop. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Ingrid H. from California. Up next is Diane B., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and everybody else who makes this meeting work, and everybody who's on the line so that we can have a meeting. I am Diane B., gratefully recovered here in Tarrytown, New York. And I just wanted to share that, you know, before program, my life was the Diane show. Everything that, you know, I wanted it. I wanted it now. I wanted it how I wanted it. You know, I really was just really thinking about myself almost all the time, other than the food. But, you know, it was all about me. And so, like I said, this is the Diane show. But I've learned through this program that, you know, I just have to surrender to the higher powers, surrender to what people are telling me. And I had a very hard time with the word surrender. So someone said to me at one point, just cooperate. Cooperate with your sponsor. Cooperate with the big book. Cooperate with what you hear in meetings. And so that's what I started to do until I learned that I wasn't surrendering my everything. I was just surrendering and giving up on the results. I still had to do the footwork. And then it says in here that, you know, we couldn't reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. And every evening when I do my 11-step review, when I do my 11-step review, part of my prayer is that it says, through my prayers and meditation, I ask especially for freedom from self-will, rationalization, and wishful thinking. Because I used to wish for a lot of things. I would go to sleep and I would wish that I'd wake up thin. Or if I couldn't wake up thin, that I wasn't going to be here anymore. That I never wanted to commit suicide. I just didn't want to live the way I had been living anymore. And I just wanted my life to end. And actually, my life did end. My old life did end when I came into the rooms and started believing in a higher power. And again, cooperating with what I was hearing. And, you know, so then now my life is way better than it ever has been ever. And I'm really grateful for that. So I think that's it. I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Diane B. from New York. Up next is Roz D., followed by Vanessa G. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service and everybody else. I'm Roz G., recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. One of my sponsors said to me one time, I was in a graduate program, and I didn't graduate with my class. I graduated a year later, and I was very upset about it, and I told her about it pretty much every phone call. And she said to me, our problems are of our own making. And I was so pissed off at her. I was so angry at her. I didn't speak to her for probably a week. I was so mad. But she was 100% correct. I put a lot of things in front of my studies. I put the gym especially. I made sure I got my workouts every day to compensate for what I was overeating. And I eventually graduated. But, you know, I put myself in that program. And I dictated it the way I wanted to make sure that I would get, you know, my workouts in or whatever else. And I had to face that truth. And there's a lot of other truths, painful truths that I've had to face because of my choices. My problems were of my own making. But I'm not in this program to whip myself and to beat myself up. I'm here to learn and recover. And Okay, so I've made those mistakes in the past, and I will make more as I am still in this this human suit that I live in. I will always make mistakes, but hopefully not as frequent and not as deep, because these steps teach me how to live. And so God makes possible the selfishness and the self-centeredness that I'm plagued with. So today, I still live in the same body, but when I wake up in the morning, I ask God to remove my envy, my anger, my need to be recognized, my need for attention. I ask God to remove all of that. And I get a lot more, I don't know how to say this, but just people tell me how much I inspire them. And I don't want to do that for recognition today. I just simply do it because it's the way that these steps have taught me how to live. And what else can I say? Yeah, powerless over my resentments, powerless over my jealousy and envy, powerless over other inabilities that I have. But that's the place to be, because that's where God comes in. And God is changing me in so many other ways in my life today. And I just want to go to work for God. I have the best two companions, and they're my dogs. They teach me the most ultimate love and unconditional love. And being of service to my 86-year-old mother, those are the things that I'm, you know, really focusing on. And, of course, okay, having some fun in my life. Thank you, dancing and all the other fun stuff that I have. But, hey, problems are of my own making, but I don't have to beat myself up over them fast.
Thank you very much, Roz G. from California. Vanessa G., I've got 2 minutes for you. Can you do it in 2 minutes?
I hope so. Thank you. My name's Vanessa G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. And, you know, there's two places in the big book, and maybe it's just for today, but they're my favorite. And one is on page 42, where it says, I knew from that moment I had an alcoholic mind. I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. I love those two sentences. And I love these sentences. Many of us had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them even though we would have liked to. Neither could we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own power. We had to have God's help. You know, finding out my powerlessness, not just over the food, but my powerlessness over my thinking, over my self-centeredness, came as I went through the steps. I didn't really recognize it until I had actually gone through the steps. And the difference was my self-centeredness is actually in direct, in inverse proportion to my God-centeredness. And to become God-centered, I needed to go through the steps, I needed to work the steps, and I need to practice every day to be God-centered, because I have to have God's help. It's no way that I can live up to my moral and philosophical convictions without that. I really wanted to be a good person, and yet it eluded me over and over and over again. And finally, I had found a way to feel like I'm a person of integrity, of honesty, and wholeness. It's as the result of becoming God-centered through the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and letting go of self-centeredness. Thank you for letting me share. I hope I made it within 2 minutes.
You did. Exactly on time. Thank you very much, Vanessa G. And that way we end our meeting on time. Thank you all for your shares. And I will now ask Barbara A. to read A Vision for You.
Thank you, Mo. This is Barbara A., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, with a shout-out from South County, Santa Cruz County, Watsonville, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will continually disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.